Hi, this is Dan Sheridan bringing you the great news of God's transcendent grace, and this is number 31 in our Scripture 101 Essentials series. And in this portion of our series, we're asking the question, who is Jesus Christ? Now, I know this has been a long series so far. Of course, they've been short audios, but I think it's necessary that we dispel a lot of the darkness because we're living in a day where the teaching about God and Jesus Christ has been obscured by Trinitarianism and forms of modalism as well. And that's why we've been slowly and carefully going through the Word of God to show you the nature of the relationship between the Father and the Son, because this is essential. And of course, we will be coming soon to the nature of man. What is mankind? That's right after we finish the series about who is Jesus Christ. Now, remember, the Lord Jesus appealed to God. Remember, we talked about that last time? He made an appeal to God. However, God appeals to no one. Jesus prayed to God. However, God prays to no one. The Lord Jesus and God are two different, to use the word, a language of accommodation, they're two different people. There's God, there's only one God, and one Lord Jesus Christ. You know, one of the greatest passages of Scripture that demonstrates Christ's humility and dependence is found in John 17. It's that great prayer. That's truly the Lord's Prayer. In John 17, our Lord prays to his God and Father for his disciples. And I was thinking about actually reading the whole chapter here, but I would like you to pause here for a moment and read John 17 by yourself. If you have a concordant version, you should probably read it from that, well, whatever version you have, but I prefer that if you have the concordant version, it's better than the others. But read John 17 by yourself. So sit back, ask God to teach you, and read this wonderful passage, and then come back to this audio. So before you go further, read John 17 out loud to yourself in one sitting, and then come back to this audio. All right, did you do it? Welcome back. Now, I want you to notice in verse 2, our Lord said this, "According as thou givest him authority over all flesh." And it's the Lord Jesus praying to his Father, saying that he gave the Son authority over all flesh. So Christ's authority here was a gift from God. And then in verse 3, we read this, "Now it is aeonian life that they may know thee, the only true God, and him whom thou dost commission, Jesus Christ." So we learn first in verse 2 that Christ's authority was a gift of God. Now here in verse 3, we read that he was sent on a commission from another. And then in verse 4, we read this, "I glorify thee on earth, finishing the work which thou hast given me that I should be doing it." So here we see that Christ didn't glorify himself, but God, and his works were given to him by God. He was sent by God to do certain works. So notice this, his authority was from God, it was a gift from God, he was sent on a commission from another, he didn't glorify himself, and his works were given to him by God. That's just in those two verses. And then we come to verse 22, and here's what we read. In verse 22, "And I have given them the glory which thou hast given me, that they may be one, according as we are one." Notice that. Here we have the unity of the Son and the Father, and he desires that unity for his disciples. Now, I, in my past days, Trinitarians and others have used verse 22 to try to prove that Jesus is one with the Father in the sense that he's a member of the Trinity, that they're the same, that the Jesus and the Father are the same, or there are three persons, one God, or something like that. But that's ridiculous. It's nonsense. The unity here is the unity of spirit and common interests. They have common interests. And this is what characterized the early disciples. Notice our Lord prayed that the disciples may be one according as he and the Father were one. It had to do with common interests. And the early disciples were characterized by that. In Acts 4:32, because remember, our Lord is addressing the Jewish disciples. And in early Acts, this prayer was fulfilled. In Acts 4:32, we read this, "Now the multitude of those who believe were of one heart and soul." There's John 17:22. They were of one heart and one soul. That means they had a common interest, just like the Father and the Son. And this has nothing to do with identity. It has to do with common interests. That's the point. John 17 is a prayer that shows us the prayer of a son, a humble, subjected son. And what a pity that Trinitarianism and modalism has obscured this wonderful relationship between the Father and the Son. If anything we should hold sacred, it's that. And Trinitarianism and modalism are irreverent, and they teach injustice by making the Father and the Son the same thing. Well, we're going to continue on this thought again next time. This is Dan Sheridan. Thanks for listening. Remember this, the closer you draw near to God through the correctly cut and correctly translated scriptures, the less religious and ceremonial you will be.